three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Stiff.
Hello everyone and welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast, recording this Tuesday, 22nd of November at about half nine, let's say. Joseph here, and I'm joined by Andrew Canyon, who'll make himself known in a moment. Talk about a number of things this episode. We're going to go do a big deep dive on Melbourne United. They're struggling. I had high hopes for them. Andrew did not at the start of the season. So we're going to talk about where we're at with them, what we think, and what's wrong. We're talking about Cairns. Are they a real championship contender? The case is really starting to mount that they are. We'll go through that. We're going to look at some of the games from this round. Some were noteworthy, some not quite so much. Grant Kelly in the 36ers. Real strange things going on there with court cases, harassment lawsuits. So we're going to talk about that. And then obviously the Illawarra Hawks. There's rumors they're going to move. But more importantly than all that, Andrew Canyon.
Hello, Joseph Corr. The fan man in the stand is here for another round to break it all down. That's all I got. I can't quite bust the rhymes, you know.
I'm no, you're stuck with that.
I'm embracing it. Not just stuck with it. I really like it now. I take a pride in being the fan man of the stand.
I've
asking
changed
the questions,
tact.
You know, that people want. The fan man wants to know. You've changed tact, have you? You're not the media.
I used to be the sports media minnow. Now I'm more in just news. Full stop. Down the project. In fact, Isaac Humphries was a guest on the project not that long ago. He came on. Spoke about it. It was a great little interview. Good story. Didn't do a heck of a lot of traction on socials, but hey, let's not go there. But that was good. And that, by the way, speaking of that, didn't mention that at the top of the program. Isaac Humphries has come out as homosexual. It's fantastic. It's great. What do you think?
Fantastic. It's kind of one of those things where I'm really happy for him and like that he's comfortable and all that. It's really pleasing from a societal point of view that everybody seemed to go on like, cool. Like that's great. Move on. And I think that's awesome. So well done to him on, you know, coming out and being comfortable in his skin to do that. That is excellent. I am sure that he is not alone. I'm sure it's not a club of one, I'm sure. So you'll be, you know, hopefully it encourages others to be themselves in the future. And well done him on leading the way. One thing it won't prevent me from doing, though, is giving him a hard time if he doesn't get points and rebounds.
Points and rebounds, that you said it best when you said it. I think it's still a bit of a shame that it is such a big – it was a big popping story. CNN exclusive, ESPN exclusive, then after that had cleared, did the project the day or two after and a few other things. But, amazing to do that and got a lot of traction on socials. I think he pushed out the video on his individual Instagram, not on NBL or United, his individual, I get that. And it went gangbusters. And that thing just went everywhere to the NBA and all your major news networks and in between. So it was great. I wonder if there'll be a flow on effect for the NBL and tickets. I don't know. I mean, it can't hurt. It's nice exposure, but does it help sell tickets? I'm thinking about it commercially and cynically. I probably shouldn't do that.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't do that. It's probably not the time and the place to do that.
The edit point there. We might get we'll discuss whether we cut that out. I don't know. But no, it was great. Good on him.
Yeah, and I think it goes to show that I think the NBL is it's more forward than a lot of leagues in its thinking. I think
agreed.
They've done a really good job with the Indigenous round over the last few seasons. This may become a bigger thing, you know, maybe have a pride round or something. I don't know. It's like they're doing better than rugby and AFL, I think, where there's still a lot of that kind of old school macho kind of, oh, that's not right.
Well, and then also, Andrew, approach. I mean, the NBL's got 10 teams, you have to say 10, 12 players at a team. So that's 100 or so players, one of which now in Humphries has come out. So that's whatever percentage. I mean, the AFL has a much greater roster. And not a one that I know of. So there must be, you know, it's still not. And the NBL was great about it. I got to hand it to all of, and the fans as well. I didn't see one negative comment on your NBL-based stuff. And maybe there were, but if it is, it's in the very, very slim minority. So good stuff. Let's move on. Let's jump into this. Speaking of Humphries and United, Melbourne United. But before we talk about their on-court performance, Dean Vickerman, this happened in the FIBA break, maybe a week, 10 days ago, came out and really hit Damon Lowry and Homicide right on the snout. Basically said, calling for balanced media, avoid it, name them by name. Who would have thought? and clickbait. Said they were clickbait and wanted to see more rounded stuff. I'll give you my thoughts on it first before we jump to you, Andrew, but I'll just say it felt like a respect. And Vickerman even came out thereafter and said, oh, this was kind of in support of what Scott Roth had said about John really an oppressor. I want to say maybe, you know, the round before that. Yeah. And it felt kind of like there was two things for me going on with this. Number one was I thought it was really unfair to do that to Lowry and Homicide, who I don't think are clickbait. They're entertaining. But clickbaits, that's a real derogatory term. I took offense to that. Secondly, was I felt like Vickerman felt the need with his comments to sort of stand up with Scott Roth. Scott Roth, who is fast becoming, as you put it, the Father Christmas of the league or the grandfather of the league.
Well, I just call him League Dad. You know,
Dad. He is becoming League Dad and great coach, really gritty coach, super emotional, kind of wins the day after every win. Yep. And is fast becoming the sort of the voice of coaches. And Dean Vickerman would have been there saying, hey, I've been a coach in this country for 20 years. This blow-in's not taking my spot. And then double down on the comments about mental health and coaches and whatever else, and kind of went a little bit too far in cementing himself. That's what I took it as. I didn't hate his comments. I love the candor, but I thought he could have done it better. What do you think?
Yeah, I think they're in the media, these guys. And the media is a very boring place if they're just singing the company line. And already there's a sense of a bit too much of that, I think, from NBL media. Now, these guys are all employed by NBL, all right? Mm. They're not independent commentators. So he's going off at his own cohort in a sense.
Yeah, true.
But they need to do that. Like that's what people want.
Well, he would argue that they don't. He would argue that the game sells itself. I'm not so sure. If you're going to push this through TV, a TV product, they need that. And also I want to highlight, Homicide did this video, two young fans came in, and really Homicide's the only guy you could do that with. He had two young kids with him. They were commentating the game. I only watched a bit of it. I just thought I didn't need to see it to know it was wholesome, charming, and a good idea. And really, it's only him that would – he's the guy that would do that best in their stable of talent.
Yeah.
And so I thought, oh, you know, you kind of take the rough with the smooth with Homicide, and he's done this podcast and did it with generosity of spirit. So,
I think this is more about Dean Vickerman and where he's at this season than anything to do with the commentary team.
That was actually a good segue, but I want to make one last point. That would have been perfect to then start talking about the team, but I want to make one point. Also, it's like it made the whip at Lowry and Homicide.
Yeah.
But you could make the exact same. I mean, I'm going to be bold here. I don't like Leonard Copeland commentary. Starting to bug me. And when Vickerman's like, I want balance and I want to talk about the game, 75%, if not 90% of Leonard Copeland's comments are like, I remember back in the day.
We do that.
I'm like, sick of the game in front of you.
I'm sick of the shtick, I got to say.
I'm glad to hear I'm not alone. And also you got to think, I looked at those two young kids alongside Homicide and I thought, the NBL and the game is for them. Most people watching this are kids under 18, let's be honest.
Yep.
And they don't want to know about – I dare say kids of that age may not know who – wouldn't know the NBL existed 3-5 years ago, let alone, you know, the
guys there and that. Exactly. And, it's nothing to them.
Play to them. Not you know, who's in the commentary booth with you. Play to the crowd. I'm not dumping on Copeland, maybe a little bit, but I feel like it's instructive, or constructive perhaps.
Yeah, and when they get Copeland and Gaze together, it becomes particularly – bad. Way too much reflecting on the good old days and Gaze would never pass it and Copeland would shoot it every time and he wouldn't sub out.
So cap that anyway. Let's jump on, let's talk about United. What's their record? It's a losing record. 4-6, 5-7, something like that.
It's
you thought they were crap from the get-go.
And I know, I should know because just quietly, tip 7 out of 7 last week. So, you know, I know my basketball.
Right. Good on you.
I know. Thanks,
join Sean. The tipping competition out there. I know it's mid-season or thereabouts, but if you want to join, there's some get link somewhere.
Get into it.
I haven't ended a single tip this year, so you're bound not to finish last. And I plan to keep up that streak.
Okay,
also, I made a fantasy team and totally called it. Melbourne United.
They're five and seven.
They were bad. You said they were bad at the start of the year. Why are they bad? Are they bad for the reasons you thought 7 rounds ago?
Yeah, pretty much. They seem dysfunctional offensively. Mm-hmm. They don't really have a whole lot of commitment at the defensive end. And so when you combine those two, you're not going to be a good basketball team. If you can't stop people and you can't score yourself, and it seems like there's a bunch of guys who just want to score the ball and not do any of the dirty work, you have got yourself some problems.
Mm.
And, of course, the other thing I had was worried about was their roster construction in terms of the age. It's, you know, they are the RSL of the league.
I like
they got the old boys running around, and it's really shown up this year. They're, you know, like Barlow's looking really old.
Oh man, and but playing massive minutes.
Yep, newly looking really old.
Newly, bless Newly. Oh boy. I mean, Barlow's one thing, Newly's another. Newly's it's a bit hard to watch actually.
Yep.
But I've got here Vickerman uptight. This team is so uptight. They overthink everything, but they don't finish their plays. In fairness to Vickerman, he's actually been really honest in presses, and we slammed him before, but I'll applaud his answers to questions. And you can see it where they're not getting guys in the right spot, but also that's on Vickerman. I don't think I've seen Rajon Tucker catch it in one place where he actually likes to catch it and go. He seems to catch it on the perimeter and have to do too much before he's at the basket. I feel like you could do a lot more with him. He's real strong. You could kind of get him in the mid-post area, get him some touches in and around the basket. He seems to have to really work it up. But I have some sympathy for this team. When Illy was in, they looked great. They played D. They scored. Yep. They looked good. Who'd they beat? Wildcats in Perth?
Yeah, they did.
I think they could have even beaten Southeast Melbourne or something with him.
Yeah, they had the throwdown win. Yep.
And then Illy goes down, and they look dreadful without him. Dreadful. And this really comes back to that decision with Delly.
Yeah,
and Mitch McCarron, because I think Mitch McCarron's looked really good. There was a game the other day that they won. Who'd they beat? Perth. And McCarron grabbed Melbourne.
I was going to say not Perth. Yep.
Sorry. It was over Melbourne. And late, McCarron grabbed this rebound. And I tweeted it. I just said, he's got such winning utility. He can rebound. He can defend. He can kind of score. He can pass. He can do everything. I'm such a fan of his game. And they got impatient. They kind of had to go for Delly. They didn't know he was going to go to the NBA. And nobody did. And it hurt him, and
yep.
They haven't been able to replace him since. But the other thing I want to say is Caroline for Marcus Lee. We only got a small window at him, but do you see him as any remedy? What do you think?
Oh, man, I was laughing when I realized that they came from – it was the same agent doing a swapsy deal. I was like, oh, this is the Joe Cord, like, wet dream.
Yeah.
You talk about how agents always have an ulterior motive. And
this
what's happened here
– reeked of it.
They didn't really test the market, did they? They were just like, we need to offload this guy. Mm-hmm. Can anybody help us out?
I'm interrupting.
No, it was just like, so the agent was like, oh, I'll do you a sweetheart deal. It gets paid twice around, just does the swap out. They even wear the same uniform number. I mean, come on.
I mean, Lee's a fractionally better fit, kind of, looks a bit lighter and might move better. I liked Caroline. I thought he could have been something. I never felt Vickerman really got him. But if Vickerman hadn't spoken so strongly in that presser, Caroline, they'd still be looking. I don't think this is the savior.
Exactly. I don't get it. I'm thinking if you've sat Caroline to bring in this guy, that's not moving the needle.
No.
What is
it a white
point?
Flag? Can I ask you, is this a white flag? I mean, it's just such a lazy deal business-wise where they've thought, we got to move him on. They haven't even gone outside the same agent. They've just gone, what can we do that looks like same money? Just make all this, what is the most carefree?
Yeah.
Don't even heat up the oven. Just put the microwave, get the microwave going. This is the most white flag, lame excuse.
I appreciate the Illawarra signing, the way they
we're going to talk about that.
I appreciate that more than what Melbourne have done here. So, no, it's pathetic. And now I assume, though, that it came because they've been saying that Humphreys and him played together in the past. So there must be some kind of like nod from Humphreys, like this guy's a cool dude. And he does seem like a nice enough guy. So maybe that's the only thing I said. Maybe they just wanted a real level head because they've already got Rajon Tucker. They've got Golding. They've got guys who are a little bit fiery. And maybe we just need somebody who's just going to be like oil on water. Just calm it down.
I agree with that idea, but I just think they lack so much. They lack so much scoring. They lack so much defense. And also just the simple thing of Shai Ili. They're kind of doing a bit of a Wildcats from last season. Make up your mind. Ili, is he healthy or not? I know the concussion, it's really hard to tell, but where's the insurance against him having this? They have none. They've sort of got Rath and Mays kind of out of position, and he's doing a lot and he's playing quite well, but make up the mind now. Like Ili, if you're not, I think they would have been better off getting Frazier than this guy for sure.
Yep.
And just going, well, we're a bit small. That's going to be a real patchwork in the front line, but at least we're going to have scoring punch, which they've lacked terribly. I thought they needed to address the scoring more than anything, but I think they're hoping to improve the D and kind of a bit of a pick and roll threat. They just need Ili so bad. Now that they've got this guy, they need Ili back so bad. And this thing is lingering. I don't have confidence in that. So
it's a worry.
I mean, Adelaide, they allowed Adelaide. I mean, even against Adelaide, this team only scored 86 points. United, I mean.
Yeah, it's just not enough, is it?
And that's still less than what Adelaide give up per game.
Yep.
Dreadful. And 69. They scored 69 against Southeast Melbourne and gave up 90. Holy moly.
Now, this is a deep dive. So I want to move on to another guy on their roster that I have serious concerns about.
Okay.
Yeah. You know where I'm going?
I think so, yeah.
I'm going to my man Rajon Tucker. All right. I want to give a shout out here to Jordan McCallum on Twitter at Jordan McNBL.
Good stats, man, for sure.
He has a really good clip. I love it. I'll read it out. But have we got the taking it to the tweets?
We've got the – play the sting.
Tweets. That's Tegan, who I met, loves the sting. I met Tegan at a Greg Hire Stitch in Time dinner.
Nice.
The other day. So that's for her. So – the tweet is, Tucker gets beat once, then twice, then barks at the Phoenix bench, and then gets beat again. Lol, quite the sequence. And he has the video clip to go along with it.
I didn't see this tweet.
It's a piece of beauty. And Rajon Tucker is that guy that you would sometimes play with, you know, on a social night, and he would look the part. You know, you'd look down the other end of the court and you'd be like, ooh, this guy's going to be trouble. Look at him. He's, you know, he's fit. He's got the physique. This could be dangerous. And then you start playing him and he gets in the defensive stance. You know, he gets in squat. He might hit the hardwood with his hands, you know, like, let's go. That guy. And then you realize you can actually just dribble past him. Because he doesn't really care or want to play defense. He just wants to look good.
Oh.
This is Rajon Tucker.
Okay.
He is all about looking good and making a show for himself and not doing any of the hard work.
You're going to come up with a fat lip and a black eye.
Oh, he could punch me out. Don't worry. This guy's huge. Yeah,
he is strong. I agree with the D. It's spotty at best. But I actually think he can score. I don't think Vickerman – I have not seen one catch where this guy has caught the ball in one position where he looks like this is where the play was designed for him to catch it and where he wants to catch it. I don't think I've seen it once. This is a strong guy who likes to put on his right hand. I haven't seen it. And until I do, he's so athletic and the team is so uptight. He's got a few breakaway dunks, but not many. I've still got time for this guy. Maybe I shouldn't, but I do. I think he's a good player. I think he could help a lot of teams. And I think he's being leashed and caged. I don't think he's being set free in the open court. The defense needs work, so I can't debate on that. Deary me. And it's not an aptitude thing. It's an attitude thing for sure.
Yeah.
And that's a bad look coming out of the FIBA break. Going into the FIBA break, you would have thought they would ratchet that up and, you know, okay, try this. And to come out of it and still be bad, bad look.
Melbourne are in this awkward place now where it feels like they're almost out of the race. And yet statistically they're not out of the race.
No, not
so
at all.
So they can't invest in their young guys yet or really just start to say, right, let's just get some minutes into the young fellas and see what we've got here. They have to still commit to winning now.
Well, if Illy comes back, they will. I believe that. I believe if Illy comes back, they'll have a 50-50 record.
Yeah.
I haven't looked at their schedule either. They've had a lot of Wildcats, a lot of Southeast Melbourne. They've still got some easy beats. They haven't seen a lot of Brisbane. They haven't seen a lot of Illawarra, maybe a couple of times. They can play. They've still got light, quite a lot of light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah. But I'm not, they don't concern me at all. They've been gutted too much over the last few years. To be fair, you know, to them, they have produced some really good talent, and that talent's all been sucked out of their team and sent somewhere else.
They went all in on Dellavedova. They paid him big. They thought he was hanging around. No one could have predicted. Mitch McCarron had to uproot from Melbourne with its charming laneways and succulent meals and delicious coffee and great nightlife and gorgeous women and move to Adelaide. And let's talk about Adelaide now. Oh, my word.
There's a bit going on.
You showed me this report. You take it.
Yeah, so Grant Kelly, formerly of Vicinity Centres, the big shopping centre organisation, news reports that he has been stood down early. There's a bit of, I was reading an article from The Australian, but basically he has, there's indications, allegedly, that there may have been some inappropriate conduct between he and another person. Kelly is denying the allegations.
Very important to know. Yes. Alleged and denied, yep.
And I notice here it was first reported in the Australian Financial Review, of which I do have a subscription, so I will have to read that. There you go. Business Andrew just popping out there for a minute. He was always going to leave anyway. He was going to leave 30th of June next year, end of financial year, wrap it up, put a little bow around it. But nope, they've sent him off early. Wow. Anytime a company sends a CEO off early like that, it's not a good look. And that is screaming risk management, crisis management. They've got
cauterized the wound.
They've had the lawyers in. They've had the HR team in. They've all looked at it and they've said, I think we need to get rid of this guy.
Can I ask you this? What does all that mean for the 36ers, do you suppose?
Well, ostensibly it means nothing, right? Because this is something tied to another organization. So you could make the argument it means nothing to the 36ers. But realistically, I think if it turns out that there's truth to this, if the allegations become more than that, surely his position becomes untenable. He's the chairman of the team.
36ers. Well, there's also, and we were quoting someone on tweets before, taking it to the tweet, not going to play the sting, but Ben Fitz, I think former GM of the 36ers some 10, 20 years ago, even said that there's been rumors that the 36ers have been sold on. Wow. So change is afoot. And it was funny, we have a private NBL group that chats, and it was the prevailing thought was, the 36ers have kind of started to turn things around, get some stability, get quite a good team on court. And then this happens. Well, this gets reported all of a sudden. It seems like it's been an ongoing thing. Yeah, I mean, what is it? So, Grant Kelly, what does it mean for the NBL?
Look, of my opinion, he's never been a great owner.
No, far from it.
He's
wanted to use the team to get involved with the Adelaide Crows, but you'd imagine that falls flat now.
Yeah. And I just don't. He underinvested in this team for so long, and then this year, for whatever reason, he seems to have spent some money. Still hasn't really worked out because they've had to get rid of Randall and stuff. I don't know. It sounds like Adelaide needs a fresh start, doesn't it?
Oh, for sure. And look at everything's been mishandled. Creek mishandled. Joey Wright. Even if you say Joey Wright sort of shot himself in the foot, they did sign him to a 3-year deal and cut him after one. They had to pay him out. And then they had Connor Henry, coach for a year, gone. Jeff Van Groningen.
Remember, out. Yeah. And remember they flew, didn't they fly They flew him here, Connor Henry, and then sacked him sort of in Sydney or something.
Just before the start of the season.
Yeah.
And they seem to have hit on CJ Brewton, who seems quite good, but the Giddy thing was good. Winning that NBA game is probably their greatest success. Or Giddy's bigger. Giddy's more long-term success. But, that's been their legacy. And other than that, at that one grand final, and then it's just been – they've been a cellar dweller there since. So hopefully things get better.
Yeah, interesting. I'll continue to watch and continue to read the newspapers and see what these alleged issues. Alleged.
Yeah. Speaking of another allegation, Illawarra Hawks.
Yes.
Matt Logue is reporting they're skipping town. The birds fly in the coop.
They disagree. The Hawks have come out and said, no, we're not. We're committed.
So the rumors, what I heard was they were thinking about relocating in 2026. And the thought was they'd head uptown into Sydney and have a second team. Your thoughts to this whole thing. What do you think?
Well, I think, isn't it? I feel like everybody knows that this is just like, it feels like it's about to fall over any moment. Anytime you tune into an Illawarra game and you see the no sponsors on the uniforms, you see the 500 people watching the team. You know, it's just grandma doing her knitting on the second row.
The stadium. It's like a Will Ferrell movie. What's that Will Ferrell movie? Semi-pro? I can't stand
Go
it.
On, dogs.
And the angle of the camera.
Oh man. So bad. It makes it look worse. That angle just makes everything cheap, look so much cheaper.
That's brutal.
If they could do one thing, if they could fix that angle somehow, that would go a long way to making the whole thing look more professional.
Gorgian comes in, spend goes up, success goes up, and then he leaves. And is he not another post Gorgian? Soon post after Gorgian, could a team disappear?
Well,
I think it's likely, and also think it's a good thing. But I'm interrupting. Sorry.
Yeah, I think this team has had so many lives. Right? It's like it's been living on life support systems for about 20 years now. It goes away, then they have some sort of big community rally, and everybody gets behind them for about 6 months, and then it's back to how it was.
Yeah.
I just don't see a passion for basketball in that community.
No. Not one that's financially sustainable. Up against Melbourne, up against Perth, up against Sydney. It can't keep up. The population's too small. The product's not good enough. Even when they had Gorgian, the numbers weren't good.
Yeah.
The attendance weren't good. And I saw a game on a Thursday night. It was 1,500 people there.
Yeah,
it's not going to do it, man. If there's 11,000 in Sydney, I must admit it was at a Hawks game, but I don't think that had a heck of a lot to do with it. And, you know, Perth gets its 10,000 and Melbourne gets its, well, the throwdown was big. It's just not going to work. And the team has such promise. You could move it and have a second team in Sydney. It'd be great. It'd be better.
Yeah.
I feel bad because that Wind Stadium is right on the beach. You could do something with it. They've never done anything with it. They've always just had never enough money to pay people to do something special with it, and that's just it. I think they'd be better off just downscaling and going, you know what, send the team off with a real handshake and a hug and we love you and goodbye, and you know, move it up to Sydney. It's not that far anyway. It's 40 minutes by train, and then just commit and go, no, but we're going to keep an NBL one team here, and that's more of akin,
yeah,
that's to that neighborhood.
And this whole thing about them being a foundation team, like, I get it. But
means nothing.
I don't care.
Means
like,
nothing.
It doesn't matter. The NBL is not the NBL started off as like a joint agreement between associations. You know, it's now professional. It's a professional business, so it means nothing.
It's a nice catch cry, but the numbers that matter to me are: I think they had 3,500 to a Saturday game against Adelaide. They're 1-9, 1-8. 1-7.
1-9, I think it is.
1-9.
Yep. Should have been 2-8, to be fair.
Yeah. How they lost.
But geez, only the Hawks could pull off that loss. Like, it just sums everything up, right?
Sums everything up.
They have the guy who's also come out of retirement, abort a couple of free throws.
Oh, no. Oh, just in such a good game and in front of such a big crowd. And also, the shot hit by Sean Bruce, I think it was a three. I tweeted out I thought it was a two, looking at a couple of angles.
I reckon it's a three.
I agree. I do know. Yep. Yeah, it was definitely a three. And also, that's a player they could have had. He's in their budget.
Yeah. But of course, that three was hit right, you know, right in the spot where he could run into the arms of Paul Smith.
Don't do this. Don't do this. Why do you make the Sydney Kings hate us like a moth to a flame? Yeah, that was it. Was if it hadn't been that corner, you know, it wasn't going to hit. Because then he would have hit it, turned to jump into the crowd.
Like, hug.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hang on, you're not my owner.
You ain't Dan Ewing. I don't want to hug Dan Ewing. Paul Smith's far more attractive.
And all away games. No. Like, hang on, you're not bald and write my checks. Why am I bothering? I'm going to get in trouble.
The only time that Dan Ewing has been, you know, out, has been bested by a fat old white guy with no hair.
Oh, I did see online, Liam San Maria hosts the show The Huddle. It's on NBL Podcast. People go and listen, subscribe. It's a really good show. The picture over Bruce's shoulder. I don't know. Not for me. I'll be honest, I thought it was cringy. I don't know if you saw it. It was Paul Smith in King's garb. I just thought, this gag is just going on too much.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's go.
Speaking of Hawks, what do you think of they've gotten rid of? Well, sadly, George King suffered a season-ending injury.
Oh yeah, Frazier. Yeah, good.
Yeah,
call.
Yeah, right. George King.
I think it's a great get. I think it's a great get.
I love it.
Do you want to give your two cents or me first?
You go.
I love it. Here's why. I think he's a talent. He can straight up score. They need a lot of things. And I had a conversation with a fellow on Twitter. Apologies, I've forgotten his or her name. But thank you for it. And I agreed with a lot of what he said. They definitely need a bigger guy. They need utility. Truth is, they need a lot of stuff. They're 1-9. They're dreadful. And I think Frazier's just, he's the top talent they could get. And shit, I'll ask you this question. If you were Melbourne United, would you have got Frazier or this Lee character?
Frazier.
Same. I would have just gone, we can't score. We're going to get Frazier. We're going to score. And Barlow, Humphreys, Peatling, who's still coming back from injury, I'd be like, you three, put your heads together and come up with something, because it's you three, and you know, all we need from you is 40 minutes of good defense and 20 some rebounds, and Frazier's going to score for us. I think it's a really good signing. I know it's a little bit overkill. They got Harvey, Siver, now him. But I like it. I think they'll shoot some teams out. They'll win some games just on hot shooting from the three of them.
I like it. Yeah, like he handled himself really well last season, considering all the garbage that went on with him. So you know you're going to get a level of professionalism. He was also playing behind a second banana last season behind Bryce Cotton. So now he can play behind Tyler Harvey.
Oh, they'll start. I'd start.
Oh, yeah, they'll start. Sorry, not play behind, but play alongside, but as the second option. You know, so he doesn't need to be the main man. Is kind of what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I think last season he just never got in the groove, but he was under an immense amount of pressure
and hurt.
And I think now you're coming into a team with 1-9, right?
Yeah.
So you're not going to make the situation worse. So I think that you just go out and play your natural game at that point.
Gun. Total smoking gun.
Yeah, I think he's ready to. I think it could be fun, and I hope to see him playing just as a relaxed sniper. You know, and he can get some work done.
Yeah,
so I'm happy with it.
So what you're also saying is sneaky fantasy NBL selection.
Yeah, I wonder what his price will be.
I think he's going to score. No, I love it. I think he's a good player, and as you say, real professional last year.
He would have been good at Brisbane as another option as well.
He would have been good at Melbourne. He would have been very good at Brisbane. He's going to be good in Illawarra, we think. Yep. Adelaide? This guy would have fit on about three quarters of the teams in the NBL.
There you go. Don't know where he's been hiding out for the last 6 months, but good to have him back.
Good to have him back, indeed. We've sort of spoken about Illawarra. Let's jump off to another community team. Community team that's playing a lot better, Cairns Taipans.
Yeah.
You can tell by the tone of my voice, we've gotten very serious.
We have.
Are they serious? Are they a contender? Yes or no? Andrew Kenyon.
They're definitely a contender. I really like them.
As in a championship, not top four, championship.
I worry just very slightly about their ability to defend sufficiently to win a championship. Just worry about when it gets into that playoff defensive grind and it becomes less up and down, will they adjust? Or will they say, hell to it, we're just going to keep playing the way we are? But that's the only thing that worries me. Youth and exuberance will get you so far, and then you meet the playoff teams.
Well, who are the playoff teams like? It's New Zealand. I mean, here's what they're going to – the teams are going to struggle with the most, I think, are New Zealand and Tasmania. Those two teams will slow them down, New Zealand in particular.
Yep.
New Zealand are big, strong, and they will pound you down. Tasmania, I mean, they beat New Zealand beat Tasmania just recently in a shocker, but I think that that's the team that will – and then Tasmania will have that chance to do, and Southeast Melbourne, eh. I worry about their ability to score when a real defense does something about them and runs them off the line a bit. That's my concern with them. But in answer to the question, are they a contender? Could they finish in the top four? They couldn't, could they? What's their record?
Yeah, of course they can.
Do you think they
are? They're third now. They're 6-3. I mean, that's and they've got a couple of games.
Beat Brisbane this round. Woohoo! Yeah,
no, that doesn't count for much, does it? But they're answering most challenges put before them. So I think I want them to make it. I'm sure, yes, they will. They'll get in. Sydney, New Zealand, Cairns. And then it's a bit of a raffle for the next few.
I mean, they're certainly playing better than – you tell me if they're playing better than these teams. Better than Perth?
Yep.
Better than Southeast Melbourne?
Yeah.
Better than Adelaide?
Yeah.
But we would agree, not better than Sydney?
No.
Not better than New Zealand?
No.
Tasmania?
It depends on the day.
Tasmania very up and down, but I like the new additions they've got. And who do you like better? If you were starting a team tomorrow, Scott Roth or Adam Ford, which coach would you have for that team? This is a tough question.
This is a tough question. I'd go, assuming that he's not going to bail out and retire, I'd still go Scott Roth.
I totally agree. Yep. His teams play D. And I think that Cairns is a better roster than Tasmania, even now.
Yep.
But there you go, people. Cairns, contender. Hit us up on Twitter at Andrew Canyon, at NBL Pocket Pod. We probably won't reply. Oh, we will. No, we will. Do it.
No, you got to hit me up on Mastodon now.
Mastodon, hey, maybe even jump in the patron, become a patron of the show for your $1 an episode. Do you know what you get? Sweet all, but it's kind charity and we appreciate it. We give you a thank you. We appreciate it to the 28 that are. If we get to 30, we'll do something nice. We'll give you a shout out individually, send you a photograph. I don't know. We'll think of something.
Yeah.
Andrew Canyon, where do you want to go next? Referees?
Referees, yes. And we've got referees and then we have our special announcement.
Oh, good. All right, let's do referees. I just want to say this point. You're going to go on. You're going to lead this conversation. But round 7, how many fouls do you think in total were called this round? In 280 minutes of basketball, how many fouls?
About 570.
About a foul a minute, 276.
Okay.
Now,
that's a lot.
To put that in perspective, the NBA sees about between 37 and 40 a game in 48 minutes.
Yeah.
So this round had a lot. Now, not all. There were some games that had an incredible amount of fouls. Tasmania and Tassie New Zealand. Oh, boy.
So that hard to watch.
Disgusting. But there were games that, boy, what game was it where people were going mental about the officiating? I want to say the throwdown.
I think it was, I think it was the Melbourne one.
And that was touchy. Heaps of fouls in the first couple of minutes and not totally unwarranted, but I don't know that the refereeing, I hate to complain about it, but I don't see a great deal of consistency across games and across rounds.
It feels really bad. Yeah, it feels really bad and inconsistent this year. And it just seemed like that new rule they brought in about the charge in the circle, mm-hmm. that was meant to sort of free things up. It's done nothing. I don't think I've ever seen that.
Some of the contact on the rim, like Tucker was getting nailed by South. No call. No, Rathan Mays had a score in the first half where he was gone at the hoop. He just got manhandled. I thought, he's diving at the hoop. Protect the guy.
Yeah. Nobody comes to the game to see players getting foul trouble to add more time for the benchies and then just shooting lots of free throws. Nobody wants to see that. Like, they're trying to speed the game up. They had that whole thing about, we'll call every moment of delay of game. that lasted 2 weeks. But like, don't you realize all these stupid fouls are delaying the game way more? Like, just let it go a little bit. And I know they make, the referees will call it and they set the tone and the players will adjust. Ah, bollocks. Like, just don't call them in the first place. It's just distracting from the enjoyment.
This is it. It's an entertainment product, and there's not, what I hate as well is this, it's so adversarial between the refs and the players, the refs and the game. And I just don't know, what's their manifesto? I feel like they just watch every single little play, every little happening on the court in total isolation.
Yes.
Instead of thinking it, do you feel that? Instead of looking at it as this great big package, and that just speaks to me. And this is something that Matt Logue earlier in the year put out a whole bunch of stuff about team spend, and that was great. I want to see in the light of day, what is the referee's manifesto? How often do they meet? How often do they chat about where this league is going, what play style they want to do, how they want to achieve it, how they want to create balance amongst, you know, because this is a big league across a massive country, how they're going to create balance. And it's just done in, it's shrouded in such secrecy. It shouldn't be a secret from the, it feels like it's a secret from the players, not just the fans. And it should be a secret from neither.
Yeah.
And it's getting to a point where it is detracting from the product, certainly the entertainment product. Jump in. What do you think?
Yeah, I want to go on to build on this and talk about the coach's challenge as well, because has become entirely pointless because every challenge is upheld.
I was shocked, and to put a real face to this, I was shocked at the Creek one where I want to say it was Lockie Barker was driving. Yeah. On Melbourne? Yeah, yep. Lockie Barker, yeah. He was driving and was sort of changing direction. Creek was just jumping his way. And yes, there was a bit of shoulder down, but you can't take a charge when you're jumping and moving. I thought it was absurd.
Yeah, and it's just, I don't know. And I sort of sometimes with these replay centers, maybe by the letter of the, like the absolute letter of the law, the correct call is determined and they say, okay, fine. But I want to know, but they don't give you any insight into the thinking. They almost need some kind of like the replay center mic'd up. Like, what's the rationale you're using here? Why has it been upheld or overturned? You know, upheld is
rationale. Not what you think is not important. It's why you thought it.
It might be because, is there something going on that we don't read or we're misinterpreting the rules? Like, why was it decided that that's the case? I just feel like the coach challenge was fun last year. Added a bit.
It
of
was fun last year,
and this year it's just been like, no, there was a microsecond of movement, and therefore the call on the floor is correct. Or maybe it's like that we don't have the video camera angle, so we can't overrule it. But we don't know that. They just say upheld or whatever. You know, like, give us some thinking.
Yeah,
no, I don't like it.
And I've said this for a while now. When we first covered the TBT, the year it was in the bubble, first of its kind bubble, really. I'd never heard of a bubble to that point. That was amazing. And whoever the head referee was there, maybe don't hire him full time and bring him over, but certainly say, hey, can we bring you in as a consultant, sit down, write us a manifesto. And if you watch that TBT series, that was so much fun. Yeah. Well refereed, players got along well, and naturally with an Elam, the game flowed well. I don't just want to say, oh, the reffing shit and da da da. I want to give a plausible, real easy road to follow to improve this. Also, the NBL put out a big internship for media people and all this sort of stuff. Do the same for the referees. I want to be able to, it's such a bizarre sector to want to get involved in, but I want us to be able to really see the career pathway of a referee, how it works, what's going on, make it really obvious the route to becoming an NBL referee and make some investment in the space. It's getting to the point where it feels like this is like the school dinners. This is the last thing you put your money into, but it needs to jump up a little bit.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay. It's time.
Actually, are you about to do a pitch? Before you do that, let's talk about next round's games.
Okay.
And then...
Okay.
Actually, no. Let's do the pitch. Okay. Sorry.
All right, you're bouncing me around here. Okay.
I'm sorry, Andrew. I fucked up again.
Wouldn't be the first time. Yeah. That's all right. I'm very excited to announce we are doing something that has really Well, we've certainly never done it before, and I don't know if anybody has ever done it before. We have got a special event for those of you who might happen to reside in Perth or be in Perth on the 29th of January, 2023. What we've got, if you look at your fixtures closely, you'll realize that that is the day that the Tasmania Jack Jumpers host the Perth Wildcats. We have got an opportunity for you to purchase a ticket, you loyal listener of NBL Pocket Podcast, purchase a ticket to come and watch that game at the Backlot Theatre. Backlot Theatre is a private cinema with a high quality big screen. It's like going to the movies, but without sticky floors. Big screen. Watch the game. Enjoy the game with us. And it's in concert with, so we've got NBL Pocket Podcast. We've got Stu and Nath, the sport blokes.
Wow.
We've got Nick Tan, super fan. And it's all supported by Full Court Fitness. All of us are going to be there watching the game, Perth Wildcats, Tassie Jack Jumpers. But that's not all you get for your ticket money, because after the game, we will do a live podcast episode for you to sit in the comfort of your theatre chair and watch. We're going to have – there's going to be a bar available, so you'll be able to have some drinks. We're hoping to get some special guests. We're working on some special guests. So not just us podcasters, maybe some names you might recognize.
Mm-hmm.
All of that for the low, low price of $30. That's just cost recovery. We're not making money out of this.
No.
This is a gift to the basketball podcast community. It's not promoted anywhere else other than the other podcasts. They're doing their promotion. We're not putting this all over Twitter. This is for people who listen to the show.
I love that.
So if you're interested, really easy site to go to, nblpocketpodcast.com/live, L-I-V-E. Go
this
there.
This is so professional, man. This is professional.
This is a big deal. We're working on this. Wheels have been in motion for some time, and you're hearing about it now. You go there. You can buy your ticket. You could just you go to a booking site. It's all legitimate. You enter your credit card details. We'll issue you a ticket. You turn up on the day, you say hi, you meet all of us, you watch a game, you watch a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I think it's unbelievable. I'm very excited by it, as you know. So excited to have the sport blokes, Nick Tan, Full Court Fitness. I mean, it's got everything. It's got other podcasters, super fans, a physical basketball training space. And how, even if you, honestly, people, even if you come watch the game on the big screen and skip out, that no hard feelings whatsoever.
Hard feelings.
I'd say soft feelings, like semi-erect feelings, not quite in between. We'd love that. Also, there's going to be a bar. Drinking game, you'll have to take a shot every time we say cuck. You'll have to take a shot every time we say slag off the Kings.
Chet.
Yeah, dear. I'm very excited about it. I think it'll be amazing. And $30, I think, is pretty reasonable. As you said, we're not making money off it.
It's just covering the higher costs, really, of the venue. Cost.
And you do these sorts of things once, and this is what I think this podcast has been good for, and the people that it has attracted, is this is the first turtle out of the nest. Turtle comes out of the nest. The sand is – it's harsh sand, and the first turtle comes out and makes its way to the ocean, hopefully. And we're hoping that this will inspire other people to rent spaces in and around their own city, be it Perth or otherwise, and do this sort of stuff with a basketball podcast or shucks a basketball team of under 16s and go crazy. And I think it's a really good strategy. We're really excited to do it. Full stop.
Yeah. So, yeah, hopefully get along. Love to see you.
Absolutely. Love to meet you all.
And there's only room. It's a small theater, like it's a cozy theater. It's a good size. It's 50, yeah. Like so, 50 seats total. So you know you got to account for us blokes who are hosting it want to sit there.
It's really about
40 seats available. So you don't want to muck around,
and you don't want to have to sit on my lap, because you do that, it's going to be trouble. To be fair,
don't want that at all.
We've tried it; it doesn't work. So great, people. That is fantastic. It won't be advertised on Twitter, just the pods.
Unless nobody buys it and we suddenly
we'll be hemorrhaging.
I think this thing's going to go. So jump in.
Do it. Amazing. What are we calling it?
We're calling it NBL Podcasts Live.
NBL Podcasts Live. Fantastic. Yep. Amazing. Yep. All right, everyone. Before we get out of here, let's look at the schedule. Round 8 we're coming into. Wow. How many rounds are there?
Time's ticking. That's a good question. Click, 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 click. 18.
Wow, we're not even halfway.
Don't sound like that.
Sorry. coming up, here are the games I want to look at. Well, this is the big one. And it's on a Friday night too. That's kind of neat. Friday, November 25th at 7:30 on the East Coast. That'll be, what, 5:30? No, 4:30 on the West Coast. Yikes.
No, it's 5:30, I think, because Queensland don't do daylight savings either. This is where it gets complicated.
Sorry, that's throwing me off. Queensland, and that's why it is Queensland we're talking about them, because it's Cairns, Taipans, Breakers. That'll be a real test of both teams. New Zealand's got to travel, but I think New Zealand will win that. Who do you think?
Yeah, I would tip New Zealand as well.
Same.
Derek Pardon. That's the, yeah.
Yeah, that's the decider. He's just playing so well. He's like 20 and 10. He's averaging. He's crazy.
He's a beast.
I will say that before that on the Thursday night, and this is the game I'd encourage people to take in if you're on the East Coast. It's at 9:30, so you kind of have a bit of a late night. It's kind of fun. Won't interrupt your usual viewing. You can still watch the block or whatever it is. But Perth are hosting Adelaide, and that'll be – they're kind of two teams that are right on the boil of – are they top four? Are they top six? Who's better than the other? So that'll be fun to watch for sure. Yep. And the rest of the games, you got anything for me, Andrew?
Maybe the last one. Cairns, Taipans, Sydney Kings. So
Cairns on the second of a back-to-back. Sydney have had a long break because they didn't play this round. And so they've got a good week's rest, maybe more. So yep.
It's not really a back-to-back for Cairns either, because it's Friday, then Monday. So there's plenty of time to rest and recover.
And it is at their home ground. Yep. Who do you think wins and why?
I'm going to say Cairns will win that one. I think Sydney Kings are due. Cook's maybe still out. So Pinder gets an opportunity to really go to town. And if they couldn't handle Sam Froling, they're not going to handle
Good call.
Keanu Pinder.
I think I agree with that. And I also think, because I think they're going to lose New Zealand, regroup, and beat Sydney. But if Cook's plays... that pick obviously might change, but I don't think he will play that game. His timeline was 4 to 6 weeks.
No point rushing him back.
No point. They got a buffer. Wow, what an episode.
There you go.
We really had so much going on. We're at the 52 minute mark. We got to make a number of cuts. We said things that were inappropriate, out of bounds, you might say. And but it was we'll make those cuts.
It was a grab bag of topics.
Grab bag. Yeah, I won't make the obvious joke. Everyone, thanks so much for listening. At Andrew Canyon, at NBL Pocket Pod, patron, but most importantly, NBL Podcasts Live.
Yeah, at NBLPocketPodcast.com/live.
Who do you think made that website? Not me. this is fun, everyone. Enjoy the games as well. And hey, really, I'm going to give you guys a mission. Go home. If you know someone who's kind of into the NBA or could be a bit of an NBL, just bring them into an NBL watch circle, even if it's just the two of you or however many. And just, but before you do, really think about how can I make this league, which is, not well followed, how can you make it palatable, fun? Maybe don't bring them in for quarter one. Maybe bring them in the fourth, maybe just the second half. Think about how you can make just one more NBL fan at a real practical level. And I think that if we all do that, that'd be a good thing. Andrew, pleasure.
It has been a pleasure.